We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of 3Maw.
Hello and welcome into another edition of 3Maw. I am John Kurtz. Derek Young is with me. Colt Manbeck is with me. We are talking spring football as we continue our preview of the Cats for the 2024 football season. We have talked quarterbacks and Avery Johnson leading the hype train for this team going into 2024, but he's got to have some people to throw the ball to, and the receivers have some promise, certainly, particularly one Jace Brown. We'll get into all things K-State receivers and tight ends here on this edition of the pod, which, of course, is brought to you by our friends at Holiday Distillery. They've got your 360 vodka and your Ben Holiday bottled and bond bourbon. I know we're in the spring, but it's never too early to get stocked up for tailgating season coming up this year, or, the summer. Go chill outside in the summer. Use the 360 vodka or the Ben Holiday bottled and bond bourbon. However it is you please, but it's perfect for chilling on the patio in the summer and when you're out at Bill Snyder Family Stadium in the fall. So support some great K-State folks who support us here on the show. Okay, Avery Johnson, I think we all feel is going to be a stud, but he's going to need some help from the receivers. And if we're being honest, I mean, this has been, I guess perpetually disappointing is far too harsh, especially after, you know, the Big 12 championship season. Malik Knowles, Cade Warner, and those guys were really good. But it does feel like, in general, if you go back to Tyler Lockett leaving after 2014, this has been an area, a wide receiver, that has always felt like it's left a little something to be desired, the receiver room. And so now you've got a young stud in Jace Brown, who looks like he is turning into a star right before our eyes. And certainly every time you look at his Instagram story, he's got another highlight of him just roasting somebody at practice and Avery dropping a dime into him. So there's a lot to be excited about there. Dante Cephas was a guy who was a very coveted transfer portal addition for Penn State a year ago. Penn State had a pretty wretched offense, and it was a little bit disappointing for him there, but I think there's reason to be very excited about Cephas being added here. And then Keegan Johnson was the star of last offseason. It was a disappointing first year for him, but he does have the pedigree of somebody that really flashed at Iowa, and you've got a steady Eddie kind of a guy in Jaden Jackson there as well. So I don't know. That was sort of the outlook going into spring at receiver, Derek. What have you heard out of the receiver group here? Has your opinion changed on anything with the receiver group?
I don't think anything has changed. I thought your characterization of the group is pretty accurate. I guess a good way to put it is that they've fallen short of being anywhere near prolific, I think is a good way to put it. Like you said, they were probably better than advertised the year they won the Big 12, thanks to the season that Cade Warner had. Some of the numbers that Malik Knowles eclipsed. Before that, you went back to Tyler Lockett. I will say Dalton Schoen had a good 2 years tenure there, yeah, too. That probably gets overlooked to an extent. He was underrated, I would imagine. I would say I thought he was really, really good, and he probably could have been much better had he had more help alongside him. I thought he was kind of a, you know, at one point there, I think then that 2 year span we're talking about was probably a little bit of a one man show in terms of the passing offense. So, and they had some tight ends there with Daniel Matabebe, Briley Moore that had some good moments as well. And we'll talk to tight ends. What I will say is from a talent standpoint, I don't know that the receiver room has been in better shape than it is right now. We're referencing Jaden Jackson as the number four guy at best. And I think if that's the case, then you've taken a gigantic step forward in terms of stockpiling talent in the room. And then you got, you know, young guys behind him even that you probably feel pretty good about or at least excited about their upside when it comes to a Trey Spivey, when it comes to an Andre Davis, and perhaps even the true freshman, Jaquise Spiley-Demps already there. Trey Davis will be there in June. Two guys that, depending on where you look, were ranked pretty highly by the recruiting services, even if their, you know, college recruiting attention wasn't as flattering as maybe their rankings were. So that would be where I start first, is that they have to realize their potential, and not many of them have yet. But in terms of potential, this is as good as the room has been since I've covered the team in 2017. And I say as good, better than it's ever been since I've covered the team since 2017.
I certainly think there's more talent than any wide receiver room that Chris Klieman has had at Kansas State. When you look across the board and you look at some of the promising hopes of some of the young guys going forward, obviously a Jace Brown who had 27 catches for 437 yards last year, third most receiving yards, fourth most receptions by a freshman in Kansas State school history. You know, you also look over the last, it was like, I think the last seven games that I had noted down, he had 25 catches for 401 yards, 57 yards per game. So, you know, his first five, six games, not much production, only had two grabs, but really came on in the back half of the season, especially when Avery Johnson took over a quarterback, their roommates, their best friends, 16.2 yards per catch, which is the most among all true freshmen nationally last year. Nine receptions of 20 yards or more, gives you that big play capability. So you really hope he takes another step, which I think he will. Supreme talent there. And then you go to Keegan Johnson. You know, yeah, a little bit of a disappointment last year, 24 catches, 227 yards. I shouldn't say a little bit. I expected him to be the best receiver K-State had landed since Tyler Lockett at Kansas State, and he battled injuries for much of the season, was plagued by that. But you do look over his last five games of the year, he had 16 catches for 154 yards, including seven for 70 against Texas down in Austin. So 24 catches on the season, but, you know, 66% of them, check my math, came in the last few games of the year. And if Keegan can stay healthy, I think he's a guy that could come on. And just keep in mind that Iowa, like, this was a big play guy. One of the things that I think the injuries plagued him with last year, he only averaged 9.5 yards per catch. And Iowa, as a freshman, he averaged 20 yards per catch. And he had like eight or nine grabs of 30 yards or more, I believe. It's something around that number when he was at Iowa, and, you know, averaged 20 yards per reception. So he's got the big play capability if he can be healthy. So I think it starts for me with those two. And then, you know, DY, you mentioned Trey Spivey. I think there's a lot of promising hopes for that one as well. And him potentially coming on as a redshirt freshman gives you that bigger body at wide receiver.
Let me ask you guys this question. I was just thinking about this. What do you think is the more likely scenario, that you get a jump from Jace Brown into a bona fide star at receiver, or you get a jump from Keegan Johnson to becoming a legitimately productive receiver for K-State? What's the more likely?
For me, it's Keegan Johnson, because he's the older player of the two. I think he's going to benefit from being in the program another year. I think his skill and talent level is probably being glossed over now because of the disappointment his first year was in the program. And look, if he's not healthy, then all bets are off here, and it's going to be Jace Brown. But if he's healthy, mix it with another year in the program, and having the threat of Jace Brown there as well, I think the answer is Keegan Johnson.
I'm actually going to, and I don't want this to come across as a knock on Keegan Johnson, because I think Keegan Johnson, if he can stay healthy, is going to have a really good year for Kansas State this year, and I'm really looking forward to that. but I would actually lean toward Jace Brown, and that's because of what I saw as a true freshman, especially that back half of the season was something I haven't seen from a true freshman at Kansas State in a long, long time as a receiver. And you keep watching his film that's getting posted on IG and some of those highlights of his ability to get open and breaking defenders' ankles. I just think, you know, with his connection with Avery Johnson, I feel like I would lean toward Jace Brown potentially becoming a bona fide star. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Jace Brown is a near 1,000-yard receiver this year for Kansas State. So, I don't know. I lean that way, but I still think Keegan could have an outstanding season for the Wildcats this year.
I guess some of it, too, I could have outlined, you know, what is the definition of becoming a bona fide star? Maybe a 1,000-yard receiver or receiving season is the way to lay that out there. I mean, I'm just a part of me. It's like I was so high on Keegan Johnson last year that I feel a little bit like, you know, I've touched the stove one too many times and I've kind of learned my lesson on that. Like I need him to really prove it to me. But also, I mean, we haven't really had a K-State receiver jump up and turn into a star either. Now that's, you know, that Jace Brown has nothing to do with that, but you are also asking for something to happen that hasn't happened basically in a decade since K-State had 2 1,000-yard receivers in the same season. Shout out to our guy, Curry Sexton, who played alongside Tyler Lockett in 2014. Now, you also probably have a quarterback who's going to be able to sling it around better than anybody that's been around here in that time, too. Maybe we can't. I mean, Will Howard had an incredible season in 2022 when he was playing, but there was the shuffling back and forth between Adrian Martinez that entire year, who was not as adept at throwing the ball around. So I think that's another factor too. What are legitimate, at least fair expectations for Cephus? Because he's going to be the guy that fans know the least about. I mean, I know he was a fairly high profile transfer, but he's somebody that fans haven't actually seen play, or with Trey Spivey and company like Andre Davis, there's been a year for people to talk about that and get excited about that. Where would you say a fair expectation lies for Dante Cephus?
I will give you a reason for optimism and then maybe a reason for pessimism. But for optimism, it's that his best years of production at the college level were with Matthew Middleton, who's now the assistant at Kansas State. And when I talk about years of production, they were very, very productive. Like, they were like all first team conference, like 1,000-yard type seasons. So it wasn't just like, oh yeah, a productive 500-600-yard season. No, it was dominate the conference good. The pessimism would be that transfers on the offensive side of the ball have tended to take a little bit of time to get going. Even Trayshawn Ward, it took a few weeks last year. Keegan Johnson, obviously, it took some time. We've seen it a few different times where that, for whatever reason, is a little bit slower to get going. And you pair that with Cephus never really got going at Penn State. Terrible offense, limited quarterback there and all those things. And he was still their number two receiver, don't get me wrong. But if you take his numbers, kind of marry it to what Keegan Johnson did, you know, other players that have kind of came in as a transfer, then there's reasons for concern. I'm guessing it's probably somewhere in the middle. I'm expecting, and especially since I don't know what the quantity numbers are going to be, what the run-pass ratio is going to be. I'm expecting like a number three, number four wide receiver type that catches 30 balls or so this season. That's where I'm.
D.Y., correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if you recall this, didn't Cephus arrive late in the summer at Penn State last year? In fact, I just pulled up an article, a late arrival in the summer probably limited Cephus as he worked into the Penn State offense and got on the same page with quarterback Drew Aller. So that answers that question. I think a big thing here not to be overlooked is the fact that he arrived for spring ball at Kansas State, is familiar with the wide receiver coach and Matthew Middleton and what he wants. And so he's here several months earlier learning the offense. So I think that gives him a jump start. And the pedigree is there. You mentioned it. First team All-MAC in 2021 and 2022, had a season where he had 82 receptions for 1,240 yards at Kent State as a junior. 744 yards the following year, and he missed 4 or 5 games. So, yeah, he's got big play capability, and I like that. I like the addition that he made. I mean, as far as I, you know, if I think about what I would consider a reasonable expectation for him. He had 246 yards last year at Penn State on 22 receptions. I mentioned the late start, just the adjustment and everything. I think if Dante Cephas can give you 500 plus yards as a receiver, I think that's success. 500, 600 yards, I'd be really excited about. You have to also keep in mind that, as you just mentioned earlier, John, I mean, Malik Knowles, 725 yards in 2022 were the most by a K-State receiver since Tyler Lockett in 2014.
Right. And now you have Cephas going for almost 600 and Jace Brown almost 1,000.
Well, because I think I do think they have more big play. Well, okay, I get it. But I do think they have more big play capability now to rack up some of the, and I think they're going to throw it a little bit more. Now, I know some people probably will question, well, you got Connor Riley as the offensive line coach. Is he going to want to run the ball a lot? But I think it's, from what we saw in the bowl game, I think they, what, drop back to throw it 30-plus times. I just think they have that big play capacity to, you know, get to those numbers. But you guys know me. I always start off with these, you know, higher than probably numbers that are, you know, they exceed the number that
those are. I would say those are like maybe upsides. So I'm not like, I'm just saying you gotta kind of factor in how many yards he'll actually throw for too, because if he's going to get almost 600, Jace Brown's going to get almost 1,000. Well, I mean, if you think it's another rough year for Keegan Johnson, then probably. So just things to keep in mind.
Cole's going to have Garrett Oakley going for like 800 yards too. He's always going to love Garrett Oakley.
I was going to say, yeah. The point I was going to make is that maybe some of Sennett's production does leak into the receivers if the tight ends don't necessarily match it.
Yeah. Now, I can remember doing that. I remember back in college, we'd always do that exercise at the beginning of the year for the basketball team. Like, all right, who's going to average however many points? And I can remember a couple times getting to the end and being like, dude, you've got Frank Martin scoring 95 points a game. Like, that's, you know, maybe let's tone this down a little bit. Don't tone down your use of homefieldapparel.com. It's a great place to go to get all the best K-State gear, 40-plus designs out there, including the lovely shooting shirt. Wear it on a date, wear it to prom, send Cole a picture of it, tell him it's great for any occasion, and wear it for me because, frankly, I'm jealous. I need to get one of those. But homefieldapparel.com, they've got all the great old-school K-State stuff, a Big 8 champ shirt from the 70s that's pretty slick that was in their latest drop. They also have 100-plus other teams, so you can get your DY on if you want to go that route as well. And you can get 15% off your first order using promo code 3MA23. So don't ever say that we didn't hook you up. We're back in just a moment.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
You guys knew it was coming. This episode is brought to you by the Spring Cleaning Champions Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0. I mean, goodness, it's April, people. Get rid of the winter bush. Watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. It is time for the flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With our special offer, go to manscaped.com and use code KCSN for 20% off plus free shipping. To pick one of these nice bullet points here, because I'm out of stories. I've told you guys enough how Cole hung me out to dry on this, but hey, do you hate making a mess? This bad boy is waterproof, all right? You can take it in the shower, the bath, or the ocean. In the ocean. I mean, that seems like, I don't know that I could officially endorse that idea. We are not responsible for anything legally that happens to you if you take the Manscaped thing out there and do your spring cleaning in the ocean, but I theoretically it is possible. You know, I mean, people I'm sure do lots of things on the beach or around the ocean that are not fit for public consumption. So, you know, if you want to do it, that's your prerogative. If you're on the trip out there, you're taking the kids out to Disneyland and get a little extra time to get away to the ocean, you do what you want to do, but you can do it. You physically can do it. That's what Manscaped says. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code KCSN at manscaped.com. 20% and free shipping with the code KCSN at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in the Pacific Ocean.
John, Council Grove City Lake. Bring it this summer, you guys, you know.
Council Grove, yeah. All right, take your lawnmower. What was it, the lawnmower? Is it the 2.0, 5.0?
5.0.
Take the lawnmower 5.0 Ultra for a little test drive out in Council Grove Lake. Yes. You'll see Cole there. All right, the always natural transition back into K-State wide receivers. Who do we have popping out of the young crew here? Who is most likely? Is it a Trey Spivey? Is it an Andre Davis? Spradley Demps? If you were to pinpoint the most likely, DY, give me like a breakdown. You know, you're a sports betting guy. Give me like the odds. Who's at the top of the leaderboard? Who's got the best odds to pop and be a legitimate contributor out of that group?
Trey Spivey, just because he got a little bit of it last year. He was the first one to kind of emerge from that group, outside of Jace Brown, of course. Andre Davis, there were some question marks there early, starting to turn it around, you know, recently. So on the right track, but maybe not tracking as earlier as Spivey. Probably leaves him in good shape, but maybe not going along as quickly. It might take another year for Davis. It wouldn't shock me if that was the case, especially since we're already talking about, you know, four veteran wide receivers being ahead of him. I think the future is bright with him, but I just think Spivey's probably further along, and you'd have to think further along than a true freshman in Jaquie Spradley-Demps. But he is a true freshman that's on campus now. Haven't heard enough to say that he can overtake a guy like Spivey. So I think Spivey's still your favorite.
Yeah, I would say that Trey Spivey is your favorite. I think Trey Spivey may be one of the most talented guys at wide receiver for Kansas State. And, you know, another year in the program, I think, will do wonders for him. I also think he didn't arrive until the summer last year, unlike some of the other guys. Jace Brown arrived for spring ball. So I think his arrival in the summer kind of limited him in picking things up. I think Trey Spivey has the most raw talent out of those young guys at wide receiver. He's a different body type, a bigger 6'3" receiver, talented recruit coming out of high school. I've got Trey Spivey for 275 yards this next season. You know, I do have to defend what you guys said earlier. K-State threw for 3,135 yards last year, which was the most in quite some time, actually, I believe. And I've got Kansas State throwing for 3,415 yards this next season. As I modeled out the numbers, Jace Brown's going to have 900 yards, Keegan Johnson 650, Dante Cephas 525, Garrett Oakley 540, Trey Spivey, 275, Jaden Jackson, 225, and DJ Giddens comes in at 300 yards, which equates to 3,415 yards, an uptick of around 300 yards passing the ball this next year with Avery Johnson at quarterback. They also are replacing their top two pass catchers in Ben Sennett and Phillip Brooks, who combined for 102 out of 258 catches for K-State receivers slash tight ends last year. That's 40% of that production gone in terms of receptions overall, and over 1,200 yards of receiving yards gone. That will get distributed out to Keegan Johnson, Jace Brown at a higher level, Dante Cephas, et cetera. So hopefully that gives you guys an understanding of where my numbers lie. Just clip that thing in December of 2024 when those numbers hit.
Okay, and I my apologies for scoffing. I was scoffing at Cole because I thought he was just throwing out another like high upside number there, but he actually legitimately broke it down, and it is nothing against Trey Spivey could absolutely do that. It was against the backdrop of Cole having three other 1,000-yard receivers already in the offense, and I didn't think that was possible to squeeze Spivey in like that. So look, I did sign me up for 300 Trey Spivey receiving yards. I'm here for it.
At 275, please remain accurate with that. I don't want to put too high of expectations. I also didn't say 3 1,000-yard receivers. I didn't even have a 1,000-yard receiver. I had Jace at 900, Keegan at 650, and then 540 for Oakley and Cephas at 525. All right? I think those are reasonable numbers.
Are reasonable enough, D.Y.? Is that fair?
No, he did the work, and he put together a realistic scenario. I would still personally, and you don't have to kill me for this, but I would personally be stunned if they threw for over 3,400 yards.
Well, D.Y. doubting the great talent of Avery Johnson. There's the headline.
I don't know if I would be stunned, but I might be a little surprised. I might take the under. I guess I'll put it that way. I might take the under on that, but I would not be stunned. Well, Cole had Garrett Oakley. What'd you have Garrett Oakley at? 500 plus, right?
Yeah, seems reasonable. Yeah, Ben Sennett had 49 receptions for 676 yards and 14 yards a catch in the best season in K-State history as a tight end. And I'm only putting Garrett Oakley at, 15% less production. So 540 yards.
I wanted Derek's reaction to the Garrett Oakley number. Is that too much?
Maybe in his first year it might be.
Yeah. Well, for last year as being the guy, you mean?
Yeah, Ben Sennett didn't have 540 his first year as being the guy. So
am I saying Garrett Oakley could be better than Ben Sennett? Maybe
I feel like we have uttered the phrase like potentially higher upside there, at least in terms of pass catcher.
Which makes me feel kind of outrageous considering Ben Sennett's blowing up the draft boards and made me the number two draft tight end now.
Then it's going to be drafted like the second round, and you're going to be sitting here like, well, Garrett, it's like I said, he could be a first round pick. I mean,
Brock Bowers. Sure. That's what I have Garrett Oakley as, Brock Bowers.
And I love Avery, but you're doing it, and every year one as a starter for Oakley, and with Avery, who started one game. So I would just be conservative on the 540 number. I would put him over 400, but 540 is steep. Sennett just had what, 600?
676. Almost 700.
Okay, well, first of all, how dare you, Derek? Avery Johnson made two starts last year. Let's not forget the TCU game.
One starter quarterback. Sorry, I'll qualify.
Okay. That's me being a Big J journo here, what are you hearing on Garrett Oakley? Derek, like how high should the expectations be for him long term? Like, is it a fair statement to say that as a pass catcher, he would have, let's go with similar upside to Ben Sennett?
Yeah, I've thought that all along. I haven't heard anything recent, really, in spring or otherwise. So, but I mean, the last thing we heard was still how much they were excited about him. I want to see it a little bit more before I jump completely on the bandwagon, but it's a guy that is really capable of having a sensational season.
Last four games he played in last year, 10 grabs for 143 yards. I think that number will take a jump. He did have a couple of drops at moments last year, but I think that was partially nerves as he got into the mix. He battled injuries, missed the first couple of games, I believe, in the season last year as he was coming back from an injury, lower body injury. So I just think his athleticism, 6'5", 235 pounds, I love what he brings to the table. Just really looking forward to seeing him play. So you don't have to ask me what my expectations are. My expectations are is that he's a first-round pick, clearly. So,
Cole, do you have tight end two with, like, you know, a solid, like, 400 yards receiving or
No, I do not, because I think tight end two is the question mark, because from a pass-catching standpoint, I think Will Swanson, as we talked about before, will probably be the number two tight end as more of a blocker, and he caught a few balls last year, but I don't think he's going to be the bigger receiver threat as the number two tight end. I could tell you a tight end I really loved coming in out of high school last year, redshirted, was Andrew Metzger out of Colorado. So he's a guy that I like. Will Ancio, I think, has a ton of potential as well. We'll see if either one of those guys is ready as a redshirt freshman to contribute as a receiving tight end.
Yeah, my expectations are pretty low there. And in fact, like, if we could start to see toward the end of the year a couple moments from one of the young tight ends, like a Metzger, just give me a couple pops here or there, I would feel very, very good about things moving forward. I mean, they've done a pretty good job. Now, a lot of this has just been identifying, like, transfer tight ends, right? It was Riley Moore and Daniel Amaterbebe. But obviously the Ben Sinnott, not only take, but then development has been very good. Like, and that goes back to North Dakota State, right? They've been kind of a machine at putting together good tight end play, and they're hot to trot after Lincoln Cure right now on the recruiting trail, who would be obviously an elite tight end to bring in too. So I think there's plenty of reason to feel good overall, but I would share the same kind of thoughts on tight end too. My expectations, I would love to have them blown away, but my expectations are not high there. You might need, as Derek said earlier, a little bit more out of the receiver room, because of the situation at tight end with Oakley stepping into year one as the guy, and then perhaps a little bit softer of a tight end two sort of spot this year.
And as of right now, if there's going to be a number two and maybe like a receptions and yards among the tight end group, the one that's probably getting the most chatter in terms of probably going to have the opportunity to be that guy would be Braden Lofton.
Okay.
Yeah, and I also wanted to just point this out because Chris Kleiman said this at the beginning of spring ball, but they're looking to adjust a few things to make life easier for their playmakers. This is from Kellis Robinette of the KC Star. Quote, we've got to be able to move our wide receivers around. We feel like we have enough bodies there and enough talented guys there. We've got to do two things. We've got to move guys around to get them in the best spot to be successful, and we have to simplify some things in the wide receiver room. So to me, when I read this, it feels like over the last few years, DY, they haven't, it's basically been the top three or four guys at receiver, and they haven't really rotated bodies much. And it feels like they're looking to simplify things a little bit more to rotate more of their talented pieces to get some of those younger guys on the field, like a Trey Spivey, so they can get more snaps and a more simplified approach. But I that was kind of a big takeaway for me this offseason. Maybe we see like a 5-6 man rotation at wide receiver instead of 3-4.
Yeah, now the simplified thing, it'll be interesting what they mean by that. Typically, when you start to simplify things, you become you're really just asking your guys to do less, so they think less, so they can play faster. I get that part. You also can become a little bit easier to defend if it's that simple.
There's always going to be a balance, but I mean that seemed, Colin Klein seemed to really want to find 2, 3, 4 guys he could really trust and just ride them. This appears to be a bit of a different philosophy, and hey, I'm willing to be open to that for sure, especially when it seems like they have a deeper room, right? Maybe some of it is just playing to the strengths. You have a deeper room, it makes more sense to dip a little bit more into the receivers than what they had in 2022, where they were really strong with the top couple, and then maybe not quite as much after that.
I mean, John, what did you and I always talk about with Bill Snyder 1.0? He found ways to simplify things to get the best players on the field. You look at Michael Bishop, they found adjustments. They had Justin Swift helping out at the line of scrimmage, standing up in the tight end position. You know, they put the best players on the field for the most part, the best athletes. And so I love that about Bill Snyder 1.0. And I think it's a great approach. If you can find ways, if you have a supreme talent that you feel like you have to get on the field, but maybe he doesn't fully comprehend 100% of the playbook, but he's got 75% of the down, you know, this is a play that he runs really well, figure out a way to get him on the field for a few of those snaps so he can contribute.
I love any talk of Bill Snyder 1.0, man. Speaking of the Discord, patreon.com/3mob. If you want to be a part of the Discord, there was a good Snyder 1.0 conversation the other day because it was about the NCAA when they ruled that you couldn't use private jets to bring in recruits for recruiting trips anymore, and how much at the time that hurt K-State because there was no shout out to Fly MHK, not a sponsor, could be. There was no Fly MHK going on at that point. So it was a huge deal. And I was like, yeah, Snyder was furious because at that point he was doing anything. You know, you think of him in 2.0 as not being this ruthless recruiter, but he definitely was back then, man. Snyder 1.0, absolute dog. And he was trying to get all the talent out there on the field. So yeah, it's a good comp.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe bring back Snyder 1.0 memories this year. Who knows?
Oh man, would love that. DY, just one quick question before we wrap. I know in the offseason, and John, I think you probably felt the same way. We initially wanted them to land two transfer portal wide receivers. I'm now kind of at the point where I think I'm content with what they've got. Now, I haven't seen them play, so I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't adjust the way that I think about it, but I think with what we talked about with the spring transfer portal window potentially getting crazy, you don't want anyone to leave potentially over who you bring in. DY, I know you've talked about that. I think I'm content with the receiver room right now.
Yeah, you heard stuff here and there about adding a receiver or not. I don't know if ultimately they will decide to do that, but I'm with you. On paper, I guess I don't know if I see the necessity of adding a receiver, especially when you have to take into account and consider the risk if you do. Well, I mean, that's part of it anymore, right? You if you go and get a transfer in a spot, then you got to look at that spot and be like, all right, who might this scare off? Who might this discourage? That's where we are in college sports. You're kind of there on the basketball thing as they're going through it right now, and the football staff will likely have to meet that face to face in a month too when they start to scour the transfer portal as well.
It's a tough one, man. I mean, you'd have to really weigh the value of like how talented is this receiver that we're talking about. How likely do you think it is that you would actually land them? And who do you think is the biggest flight risk if you do? But I tend to agree. Like, if you threw somebody else in there, I mean, I think the odds are overwhelmingly likely you're losing somebody. Now, who that would be, I don't know. And so you got to tread really lightly with that. That's a tough value proposition. But these are the kinds of things that college football coaches get to deal with today, types of things that they got to worry about today that you never had to back in the Snyder 1.0 days, for instance. All right, it's going to wrap it up for the receiver and tight end preview. We appreciate the help of our friends at Holiday Distillery. Thank you to Homefield Apparel. Thank you to Manscaped. And thank you to Nick Springer behind the scenes. For Derek Young and Cole Manbeck, I'm John Kurtz. Thanks for listening to another edition of 3Mob.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.